Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chinu Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Wow, it's beautiful, isn't it? Oh, and that smells nice. It's delightful. What is this? Just your ordinary Christmas tree, right?
Wrong.
This is the Chrismon tree. Chrismon tree.
Chrismon.
I'm enjoying the odoriferous emanations of the Chrismon. Really nice. Of the Chrismon tree. Oh, Chrismon tree. Oh, Chrismon tree. Ha! What is this? What's with all these wacky shaped ornaments on here? This one looks like a little teeny tiny steering wheel for a little teeny tiny car. You know what? I feel an episode of Chuck Norris Church coming on. Oh, guys, it smells even better in here. You gotta get in on this. Just love the fresh evergreen smell. Smell right? Not even close? All right. The word chrismon itself is a combination of the words Christ and monogram. Now, it comes from the Latin phrase Christi monogramma, or translated, a monogram of Christ. In other words, a Christian symbol representing Jesus Christ, like here. Thank you. The popular chrismon, the Chiro symbol. The first two capital letters of the Greek word for Christ, which look like an X and a P, or Christ. Then, in the 20th century, the term chrismon started to be used in a broader sense, to include a wide range of ornaments at Christmas time. And in 1957, one Miss Frances Kipp Spencer came up with an even better idea. Now she's thinking, how about a different way to decorate our church's Christmas tree, huh? Something that might look nice, appropriate for the sanctuary? So, Frances started using Greek monograms like this, Chiro, representing Christ. And suddenly, decorating the tree took on a completely different look. And quickly, Frances got to adding more sophisticated ornaments, such as original depictions of biblical teachings, the life of Christ, or the Beatitudes. Then, chrismon started showing up at Advent and other seasons rather than just at Christmas time. You might even start seeing them around the house, table settings, shadow boxes, bookmarks, refrigerator magnets, keychains, wedding cake toppers. Who knows? The possibilities are endless, actually. Pretty soon we'll start seeing them at football games and baby showers. No, not baby showers. Yeah. I've been getting a little carried away. That leaves are green, unchanging. Anyway, if you would like to learn more about chrismons, ask your pastor. Tell them Chuck sent you.
Hi. My name is Åsa. I grew up on a tiny island on the Norwegian coast called Åsøy. It's a beautiful island. It's an inland island surrounded by water, and it smells of ocean and mountains and forests at the same time. It's beautiful. And I think growing up there really taught me to appreciate the beauty of God's creation. My father was a chief engineer and later a superintendent on ships. And from the age of about 4 till 7th grade, I traveled with him and my mother quite extensively. We would go from Europe to Africa to America several times, and we also lived in Brazil. And as I had an ear for languages, I picked up quite a bit of the languages, and I also got to translate quite a bit of business meetings for him especially in Brazil. By the time I was 6, I was bilingual in English, and I spoke fluent Portuguese by the time I was 10. I often... Later, I had to learn German and some French as well. My love for shipping and languages led me to work in those industries from the time I was a teenager. I loved the smell of shipyards and the quiet strength and kindness of old sailors. Norway used to be a shipping nation on par with Britain, so there were quite a few old sailors around, and I could spot them from a distance. My work experience dealing with marine insurance also allowed me to work a year in the Middle East when I was in my 20s. After coming to the US in 2000, I kept up with the language industry as a project and account manager or a freelancer when life required more flexibility. God gave us wonderful children, both our own and also foster children. We discovered the complexities of the school and healthcare system when we learned that one of our children were autistic. And currently I am leading an effort to restart the Littleton Special Education Parent Advisory Council, in also called CPAC. I've also been heavily involved in Littleton Community Farm. My favorite hobbies are foraging and salting. I love these things because they teach me about the wonderful gifts from God that are all around us, and every time I discover a new edible plant, fruit, or mushroom, I'm in awe of God's creative powers and just so grateful to have been given so much beauty to enjoy. He has truly given us all that we could ever need. Littleton, Massachusetts is the place I have lived the longest in one stretch, 15 years. And the people here have always made us feel so welcomed, just like you at St. Matthew's. Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Chinu Chan, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email, or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
He is Methodism's most famous musician, and his words have inspired people of faith for nearly 300 years.
6,000 hymns. Charles Wesley is the poet laureate and great writer of Methodism. So many of Charles' hymns talks about the liberation of the human soul. In the hymn we love to sing, O For a Thousand Tongues, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. He not only helps us sing our theology, but he helps us to understand what it is we really have to sing about and belt out with joy and inspiration.
Charles Wesley left his mark on Methodism, a movement very much influenced by its music.
Our theology is something that we've sung, and we've sung it in a way to help us understand it and to help us feel and experience it at the same time. So it's one thing for me to say, for example, incarnational theology. It's another thing for me to say, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king.
Early Methodists took their hymnals home during the week, and hymns became daily devotions.
They use it as a little, what's called a little mini dictionary. If someone wanted to know about how to pray to God, there was a hymn for that. If someone wanted to know, gee, what does it mean that Jesus is divine? There was a hymn for that.
Born in 1707, 4 years after his brother John, Charles was the more creative force. and John, the organizer.
Charles' influence on John was every bit as great as John's influence on Charles. In these two brothers is a wonderful dynamic duo that really give us the heart and soul of Methodism.
It was Charles's desire for a deepened religious experience that led them to form a holy club while Charles was a student at Oxford. And Charles had his conversion experience before his brother.
We all know John's story of the heart strangely warmed Aldersgate Day, May 24th. But guess what? Charles' heartwarming experience was May 21st.
Charles Wesley's faith was most clearly communicated through the thousands of songs he composed. His words are known worldwide, and United Methodists can take pride in their connection to this poet and preacher.
Being a Methodist, I like to think of the feast, the potluck, where all the churches gather in community. What do we bring to that feast? And for Methodists, it's song. At Easter time, not just Methodists, but Christians around the world sing, "Christ the Lord is risen today." And at Christmas time, churches around the world sing, "Hark the herald angels sing." Even Charlie Brown sings it. That's our gift.
This video was brought to you by the people of the United Methodist Church through World Service donations.
Good morning. Welcome to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. My name is Gino Chun, the lead pastor. I'm so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we worship God together and have fellowship. We would love to get connected to you. You may send me an email or you may join us at virtual coffee hour on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and my email address on this YouTube page and on the church website. Welcome.
Thank you. Good morning. I welcome you all to the service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. This morning, we have a big challenge here. I was exposed to someone who just got the result of COVID test positive. So I'm worshiping with you at home. But at the same time, you know, with God's help, you know, God bless technology. You know, I'm able to worship with you and the lead the service and share the good news with you this morning, you know. And I really appreciate, you know, Wayne and Susan, you know, their knowledge and their passion for this service and their service. Would you turn to your neighbor and tell them it's okay? It's okay. We have God with us. Amen. Amen. Let us worship God together with all our hearts and minds and souls. Praise the Lord.
This is the
really
fourth week of Advent. Today we light
Lord,
the candle of love. As it says in 1 Corinthians, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres.
Love never fails. Amen.
Precious God, we look to your Son to show us how to be, how to live, how to walk in this world. We try our best, and while we often fail, he continues to show us the way. Help us to be more like Jesus. Help us see, help us hear, help us touch, help us speak. Help us to use all that we are to heal and not wound. We want to be like your only Son. Help us. Amen.
Near the time Jesus was supposed to be born, Mary and Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem to take the census. But first, they had to figure out how to get into the city. It didn't get any easier for them once they got into the city.
Is there any room?
No.
Is there any room?
No.
Please let there be room. My wife is pregnant.
Get out of here. Ah!
This isn't working out very well. Keep trying. Ugh. Anybody there? No! Oh. What are we gonna do? Let's try over there. This is the last place. This better work. Please, let us stay here. My wife is about to give birth. Please let us stay here. We've been through a lot. You have no idea. I don't know about all this. I'm sure you could use our manger. There might be some animals there. Fine, we'll take it. Just let us stay, please. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
So Mary and Joseph finally found a place to stay. And while they were there in the manger, Jesus was born. And they were so happy. Then they were amazed as a giant star appeared in the sky. And soon after that, visitors began to appear.
Hey, look, the star is right over that manger. Hey, look! There's the baby that the angel told us all about, the one who will save us. Let's go see him.
Now, what could Mary and Joseph have done in this moment? Joseph and Mary could have said,
hey, we've just been through a lot. Please don't bother us right now.
But instead, Mary and Joseph opened their heart.
Come closer. Come and see the baby. Come and join us. Yay, let's come. Ooh. Oh, that's amazing.
And that little stable was full of love. They all began to sing praise to God together and give thanks for Emmanuel, God with us. Today we celebrate love. You know, when Mary and Joseph were going from door to door and they were having a hard time finding a place to stay, how would you have felt if you were in their shoes? I would imagine I would have felt really rejected and scared and nervous that we weren't going to find a place for my child to be born in that was safe. And maybe just a little bit like that I wasn't good enough to be accepted into somebody's home. But Mary and Joseph stayed hopeful. And they eventually found a place. Not the best place, but a place nonetheless. And then the shepherds show up. And Mary and Joseph just finished having a baby, which was not an easy undertaking. And now all of a sudden the shepherds want to be all around and want to give thanks. After you experience rejection, sometimes people want to be really defensive. After Mary and Joseph had been told no so many times, it would have been easy for them to say no too. But you know, they didn't say that. They said, come on in. Be a part of this. This is about more than just the two of us. This is about everybody. This is about the universe. This is about the world. Come and be a part of this. Remember, the shepherds weren't exactly, you know, the cream of the social crop at the time. The shepherds were just shepherds. They were smelling like sheep, most likely, and yet they were invited in. Maybe because Mary and Joseph knew what it was like to be forgotten, to feel unimportant. Sometimes that kind of understanding helps us love better. And so maybe this week we can think of ways where we can choose love. Even if we feel rejected or lost or afraid, those are the times when it's easiest to say, you know what, I can't do this right now. But opening our hearts is a daily practice. It's something that we have to choose every day again and again. Sometimes we have to go out into the night and dare to find light and to shine light and to see light and to be light, even if it's just a glimmer, even if all we have is just a little spark, because everything else has been drained out of us. You can take that and offer it to God, and God says, that's a beautiful gift. I can use that. We're almost at Christmas Day. So this is an opportunity for us to share light and shine light with each other and with others as well. Let's pray together. God of love, keep our hearts open and responsive and loving for you and for each other. This Christmas season, show us your way of love, peace, hope, and joy. In Jesus' name, Emmanuel. Amen. For your activity this week, this Advent, this Tuesday, we're making treasure chests that are two-dimensional that you can put up on your fridge or on a wall somewhere to help remind you to choose love wherever you may go. So have fun with that and be sure to share it with us on the Flipgrid so that we can all take a look and enjoy our crafts together.
God is real. 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 God is
Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 through 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he."
When reading today's scripture reading from Matthew, I got a question. Why did John the Baptist send his disciples to ask Jesus the question about his messiahship? Verses 2 and 3, when John was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" According to the Gospel of Luke, John was born to prepare Jesus' way, Jesus Christ's way. Luke chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Many of the people of Israel will John bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And according to the Gospel of Matthew, John boldly proclaimed, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Matthew 3:11. Moreover, after he baptized Jesus, he and others heard the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Matthew 3:17. But later, John sent his disciples and asked Jesus the question, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" What's going on here? Why did he have this disciple to ask Jesus this question? Did he himself doubt Jesus' messiahship? Or did he have a hidden plan? To answer to this question, we need to take a look at the context of the text. There was a big tension between John's disciples and the disciples of Jesus. John's disciples wanted to believe. They wanted to believe John was the greatest rabbi. For example, one day some of his disciples even challenged Jesus and asked him, "How is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Matthew 9:14. They tried to prove they were better than Jesus' disciples because they had been taught by the greatest rabbi, John the Baptist. There's another example about the tension. John's disciples saw Jesus as John's rival, and they felt jealous of Jesus' popularity. John 3:22-26, Jesus and his disciples left Jerusalem and went into the Jerusalem countryside. Jesus spent some time with them there, baptizing people. At the same time, John was baptizing in Annon near Salem. This was before John was thrown into jail. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over the nature of baptism. They came to John and said, "Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people. He's competing with us. And everybody is going to him instead of coming to us. Do you see that?" They felt jealous of Jesus' popularity. Like this, John's disciples doubted Jesus' identity, and they were jealous of Jesus' success. But John was always clear that Jesus was far greater than him. John 3:27-30, John replied, "I am not the Messiah. I'm only here to prepare the way for him. It is bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows. Therefore, I am filled with joy at his success. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." Wow. John the Baptist was always clear and believed that Jesus Christ was the one, the Messiah. Then why did he send his disciples to ask Jesus the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" John the Baptist was sure Jesus Christ was able to turn his disciples' doubts into assurance. He believed that Jesus Christ was also to transform his disciples, the doubters, into believers. So John wanted his disciples to experience Jesus Christ for themselves. He wanted his disciples to experience Jesus Christ directly. He wanted them to realize how great Jesus was through their own experiences with him. John wanted them to clearly see that Jesus was the one. Therefore, he sent his disciples to Jesus with assurance. I can make an educated guess what John's disciples must have done after they came back to John from their meeting with Jesus. They must have started telling their rabbi, John the Baptist, what they heard and what they saw. They witnessed, "John, this is what Jesus is doing out there. Those who are blind are able to see now. Those who are crippled are walking. The people with the skin diseases are cleansed. Those who were deaf now hear. Those who were deaf are raised up. The poor have a good news proclaimed to them." I can picture John the Baptist having a grin on his face. I have. While he was listening to his self-witnesses, he must have had that grin on his face and say, "Yeah, I knew it. Isn't it great? John the Baptist clearly believed that Jesus was the one. And he invited those questioners and doubters to the opportunity to meet Jesus. And then Jesus Christ opened the eyes of those spiritual blinds. Jesus Christ made those doubters into believers. Jesus Christ transformed those questioners into witnesses. How amazing. Here I would like to ask you to pay attention. I'd like to ask you to pay attention to what Jesus said when he was sending up John's disciples. He sent them up with a blessing. Jesus says, "Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." The Good News Translation says, "How happy are those who have no doubt about me." Jesus didn't rebuke them. How dare you question about my identity? Jesus didn't send them with a curse, but Jesus Christ assured them. Now you know the story. Now you've seen it. Now you go witness. Now you know who I am. And spread the words. And bless them, those who would believe who I am. Every single one of us has ups and downs in our life journeys. Is there anyone who has always ups? Raise your hand. We have sunny days and rainy days. Is there anyone who has always sunny days? Raise your hand. As we are walking towards Christmas through this journey called Advent, Jesus Christ asked us this question. Which one do you focus on? Do you focus on me or your life circumstances? Do you focus on me or your rainy days? Do you focus on me or this pandemic? Which one do you focus on? When you focus on life circumstances, you easily get stumbled by those downs, rainy days, and those challenges. As you're focusing on them, you may get despaired. And the more you pay attention to those negativities, the more you speak and act as if there were no hope at all. But fortunately, there are some great self-care books and some wise friends around you. They tell you, hey, be positive, be optimistic. So you try to look at the brighter side of your life. You do your best to be positive and optimistic. But your efforts may not last long. So Jesus Christ tells you, focus on me. I am the one. I am the one who has the greatest compassion for you. I am the one who has the authority to forgive you. I am the one who has the power to heal your brokenness. I am the one who is able and willing to bring hope into your life. I am the one who has the power to save you. I am the one. In his book, Here and Now, Henry Nouwen says that the optimist speaks about concrete changes in the future. The optimist says it will be fine. In other words, the optimist predicts the future positively. The personal hope in Jesus Christ is free from even the need to predict the future. Hope in Jesus Christ frees us from even the need to predict the future and allows us to live in the present moment with a deep trust that God is holding us up with God's mighty hands, and that God will never leave us alone. Amen. When the angel told Mary of Nazareth about God's big plan, she focused on how great God was. Nothing is impossible with God, she said. She focused on God's greatness, not on her small background. Nazareth was a very small and poor town. In John chapter 1, verse 46, when Philip talked to Nathanael about Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael said, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? No one expected anything good could come from that small and poor town. But Mary decided not to focus on how small she was. Mary of Nazareth didn't let herself be preoccupied by her poor background. She didn't even try to be just optimistic. She didn't try to positively predict what would happen. She didn't even say, it's going to be all right. She rather focused on God and put her trust in God. She decided to live the moment with the knowledge and trust that all of life is in good hands of God. And she was free from even the need to predict the future. In God, with whom nothing is possible, that freedom allowed her to live in the present moment with a deep trust that God would never leave her alone. So she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as the messenger of God has said." Wow. John the Baptist in prison kept his trust and hope in Jesus Christ as well. He focused on the Christ, not on his circumstance. He didn't try to be optimistic, but he was a person of hope. He didn't try to predict when he could get out of the prison. He rather lived in the moment with the knowledge and trust that all of life is in good hands of God. And even in prison, he was free from the need to predict the future and his hope in Jesus Christ. And he allowed him to live in Jesus Christ, who allowed him to live in the present moment with a deep trust that God would never leave him alone. When I have to go through another down, another rainy day, another life challenge, I may come to ask this question: Jesus, are you the one? When I come to face my brokenness again, I may ask the question: Jesus, are you the healer? When I come to suffer from my sinfulness again, I may ask the question: Jesus, are you the Savior? But I already know the answer. Jesus Christ is the healer. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is the one. So I decide to put my trust and hope in Him and do my best to live the present moment to the fullest. And I celebrate the joy and security that come from the deep trust that God never leaves me alone. Remember, we are the people of God. So we have a hope in the Lord. We are the people of hope, no matter what. Are we waiting the day the pandemic is over with despair, with anxiety? Or do we want to decide to focus on God, focus on Jesus Christ, the One, and find hope in Him so that we may fully live in the present moment with the deepest trust in God? My siblings, my beloved siblings in Christ, Jesus Christ tells you this morning, I am with you. I'm holding you up. I am the one who will never leave you alone. My name is Emmanuel, God with us. I am the one who is able and willing to heal your brokenness. I am the one who has the power to forgive all your sins. Please join me and let us celebrate this present moment together. God loves you, so do I, and there's nothing, nothing you can do about it. Amen? Amen. God loves you all. Amen. Let us proclaim the good news to the world. Go tell on the mountains. Let us sing it out. Praise the Lord. Thank you. such a blessing. So thank you, Zenny and James. Guys, we are lifting him, isn't it? Right? Now go, tally on the mountain. So proclaim the God's goodness. Now we are going to share the Holy Communion. Jesus Christ gathered together with his disciples to share the Passover meal. It was a festival. It was a special season, but it was ordinary food that they would have during that season. But as Jesus Christ blessed them, it became extraordinary. So we ordinary people gathered together around this table, the Lord's table. And I believe, with God's blessing, God calls us to extraordinary ministry God wants to do in and through us. So this morning, as I'm at home, I prepared this scone, which is ordinary food, and also I prepared this cup. But we know, as God bless us, as God bless this meal, ordinary meal, we become extraordinary people of God. And we share this extraordinary love that we have for one another and for God. As I lift up the bread, you may lift up your bread at home. As I lift up the cup, you may lift up cup. So please join me and let us fully experience the beauty of the Holy Communion and the meaning of the Holy Communion together this morning. On the night in which Jesus Christ gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread, gave to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of this God's mighty act in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on this gift of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. As a people who experience God's blessings, God's grace, through the message and the good news and the Holy Communion, let us respond to God's grace together. Please join me in response to God's grace. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares about our hearts, not the amount of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with a grateful heart. Amen. Amen. Yes, God cares about our love. God cares about our hearts. So obviously God wants us to be a cheerful giver. You know, as I always say, if you are not ready to give offerings to God cheerfully, then please don't do it at this moment. But please pray with me. You know, I'll pray for you too. So as you count the blessings, count God's blessings each and every day, God may fill your heart with the thankfulness, with a grateful heart, so that you may become a cheerful giver. So I'm holding you up with the prayers. But as we count all the blessings God has already given to us, let us give our offerings to the Lord, so that God may continue to do God's wonderful, extraordinary ministry in and through us. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's time to pray together. I will share the prayer request that we received through the chat. Then I will say, this is my prayer at the end of each request, and you may say, this is our prayer. Susan Lasante, I ask for prayers for Nancy as she hopes to bring her husband, Joe, home to die after suffering a stroke this week. This is my prayer. Mary Mekacek, prayers for Joy Oaks, battling breast cancer. Prayers of thanksgiving as a Marine pilot recovers from lung cancer surgery. This is my prayer. Sarah Wegg, peace and joy to all. This is my prayer. Donna Yost, prayers for my dad, Ed Webb, who is watching over us from heaven since Thursday morning when he passed. Yes, we want to hold up, you know, Donna and her family. He went back home. Her dad, Ed, went back home to be the Lord peacefully. So as Donna and her family are grieving, we want to join them. As they're celebrating, we want to join them too. So please remember her and her family and let us keep them in our prayers. And it's also from Donna. Prayers for all thanksgiving. Oh, yes, right. She mentions that he's here. Prayers of thanksgiving for his life and all the love he shared with us in his 84 years. Amen. This is my prayer. Judith Kim, continue to prayers for my cousin, Harriet, who is in rehab. She is progressing slowly in her recovery. This is my prayer. It's also from Judith. She has a minimal movement in arm and still cannot talk. So Harriet still needs our prayers. So we'll continue to pray for her. This is my prayer. Harold offer a prayer for Pauline, Pauline's sister, Shirley Mark, who is at home under hospice care. This is my prayer. Chris DeHaren, prayers for Ed and celebration for his life and his daughter Donna and family. This is my prayer. Doug Wurst, I ask for prayers for my grandson Ben, who has the coronavirus but is recovering. Pray for all the people who are suffering. This is my prayer. Judith Kim, prayers for my friend David, who is starting treatment for his brain and lung cancer this week. This is my prayer. Chris DeHaran, blessings to all our singers. That was so moving. Just a message the world needs. This is my prayer. It's also from Chris DeHaran. Prayers for Nancy, Joe, Joy, Maureen, Ben, and David, and those who need love and care. This is my prayer. Susan Evans, prayers for sunny days. This is my prayer. The worst of prayers of gratitude. Oh, I see. Donna Worst, give thanks for Jen and James' music this morning. This is my prayer. Chris Callahan, prayers for Anne and Tail, who fell Friday night and will be having surgery for a broken hip on Monday. This is my prayer. Chris DeHaran, prayers for Anne. And hello to George. This is my prayer. From Chris DeHaran, blessings for cursors that fix sins during our worship and attack angels still working their digital magic age. Yeah, so we give thanks, as I mentioned earlier, we give thanks to Wayne and Susan. You know, now I see more clearly, you know, how much multitasking, how many multitasks they have to do at the same time. You know, so we hold them up, you know, with our prayers during worship hours. You know, we so really appreciate it. Can we give them a big hand? Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And George Orkian Odalo, pray for the needy families in Korogocho slums so that God can show them love during this festive season. This is my prayer. And I myself have, you know, two prayer requests. One, you know, I mentioned to her and asked you to pray for her a couple of months ago. One of my neighbors, her name is Faro, and she's in stage 4 cancer, and she needs a lot of prayers. So please remember her name, Faro, and pray for her and her family. And also, the person I mentioned that I was exposed to is my son, you know, our son Joshua. You know, he took the last test at school before he came back home yesterday, and then always a negative, but yesterday he showed that the result of test is positive. So please pray for him, and also pray for us. You know, my family and I will go and get the test. And I just as we can get the schedules this week, you know, and hope, you know, it's a positive so that I can be in the sanctuary and do the service together. Please pray for Joshua and my family together. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Let us take mortal silence and pray for this prayer request. Let us pray together. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us share the sign of peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you all. I have several announcements to share with you. First of all, yes, thank you all, the worship leaders in the sanctuary. We really appreciate your service there, your ministry. And also, thank you for all those, all of you who joined us to worship God together this morning. Thank you very much. And if it's your first time to visit us, we would like to get connected to you. So you may send me an email, pastor@saint-matthews.org. You can see that on the YouTube page and also on the church website. Or you are more than welcome. Please come and join us at the virtual coffee hour after this service. And we are going to have the Holy Communion at Christmas service. So please continue to prepare the cup and bread at home so we can celebrate the Holy Communion together. And Christmas Eve service, we'll have a Christmas Eve service online, yes, at 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. on the 21st. So Christmas Eve services at 4 p.m. and 10 p.m. And we are going to have a Zoom Christmas dinner together after the 4 p.m. service. And also we'll have a Zoom Christmas greetings, Christmas fellowship prior to the 10 o'clock service. So from 9:15 through 9:45. So we're going to have a Christmas fellowship just before the 10 o'clock service on Christmas Eve. My beloved siblings, go with assurance. Jesus Christ is the one who brings the hope into our lives. We are the people of hope because we have God, no matter what. Go in peace. Let us bless each other through this blessing song together. May the grace